Thank you for tuning in to the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development podcast series. My name is Carrie Robidoux, and today's podcast is Youth Can Positively Influence Citizen Science, Research, and Stewardship. I'll be having this conversation today with Becky Meyer, who's an extension educator, also with the Center for Youth Development. Becky, I'm so glad that you're able to join me today.
Yeah, thanks, Carrie, for having me.
You know, let's start off with you telling us a little bit about your work and then specifically how your work has built science into youth programming.
Great. So a little bit about me. My role as an educator has been primarily focused on science, technology, engineering, and math program efforts here at the Center for Youth Development, along with big picture program planning kind of efforts. So in my STEM role, we are trying to create opportunities for youth to learn more about what that means to be engaged in STEM program efforts and really just introduce the idea that they can themselves be scientists or engineers and where that could lead them if they have those types of interests.
Now, along with all of the work that you have done, as we dive into the content here of our podcast, you've written a number of blogs about the work that you do and have really been instrumental in this STEM area within our center. Today, you're going to share with us how youth can positively influence citizen science, research, and stewardship. So can we start off first with you defining what citizen science is?
Sure. Really simply, citizen science are, that's where citizens, whether they be youth or adults, are engaging in different projects of interest that are science primarily. I mean, it doesn't have to be science. It could be a social science too, but a lot of work around different science projects. And they are working alongside scientists who are researching different aspects of some research question. So you may be familiar with the DNR has quite a few citizen science projects that people can get involved with. One of them is like Frog Watch. You can go out and, you know, listen for different frog calls and record the different calls that you're hearing and the time of year you're hearing those. You can also do citizen science or be involved with citizen science projects related to phenology, the changing of the seasons. So identifying, you know, when different natural events are occurring. So right now people are talking about thin ice. So when do lakes ice over? And that might be something that someone is monitoring every year. And whether it comes earlier in the season or later in the season, those are things that people can keep track of and contribute to some other projects that scientists and researchers may be interested in learning more about.
So basically for us regular folks who have an interest in an area, we connect with an expert and they help guide us in this work, but we are also helping to contribute to their work, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that, you know, there's a lot of different ways that we can explore our natural world, for example. And so scientists are doing that and they're researching in different ways, but they can't be everywhere. I mean, there's a lot of landscape to cover. So that's how citizens can get involved and they can help to keep a record of different data that can help support or, you know, maybe create new questions for scientists and researchers on whatever topic it might be that they're collecting the data around.
That's really neat. And so what you have done is involved young people in this work. Would you share with us now your work in this area and some of the curriculum and programmatic efforts you've developed?
Sure. So a number of years ago, I was invited to be involved with a NSF, so National Science Foundation funded project with the University of Minnesota, which some of our colleagues in Ag, Food, and Natural Resources were taking on a project, which the project is driven to discover, enabling student inquiry through citizen science. It was a five-year funded project where we were working together to identify, you know, how can we make this kind of effort work with young people and what kind of supports are needed. So we brought together individual adults who were interested in leading young people in citizen science efforts. And then we also recruited young people to be involved in the project. And that happened through a variety of different ways. But over the course of that 5 years, we were looking at what are those supports and what is necessary to ensure, you know, high quality, effective programming for these young people, but also be making a contribution to that citizen science arena as well. And so there is a broad team of us who are working together in that effort. And I brought in that youth development lens with a few other colleagues. Some of the efforts over the course of that 5 years, we identified what some of the kind of a template almost as far as like what is the length of time, what is the duration, how do we sequence those experiences for young people to really help them to go from point A to point B in their learning around citizen science and also be able to make that contribution to the citizen science researchers. And in this case, the topics were around birds and monarchs. That has sort of led to some other projects that I've been involved with. And I think we might spend some time talking about that here yet during this podcast.
The Driven to Discover program that you just described, you also talked about that in your blog post, and I was struck by a comment that you said that meaningful STEM informal learning programs for youth involve balancing that scientific authenticity and positive youth engagement. Tell us more about that, how you make sure that authentic positive youth development, in they're not just young people at the table, but mm-hmm. they really are involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think a lot of it is how you, you know, design those kinds of experiences for young people. So part of it is we want them to be able to, you know, develop a stronger science identity and their own science abilities. And so you're weighing that with also wanting to ensure that they continue to have a positive youth development experience where we're helping them to develop those 21st century learning skills around, you know, how to work with other people. So cooperation and collaboration and, you know, the teamwork dimensions, but also to have them, you know, they have to communicate with one another. They also, sometimes it's some of the work is really creative in nature. And so those are some of the things that we're wanting to be sure that we're balancing, that it isn't one or the other, but that they're both really important in the kinds of programs that we're designing and developing. And part of it is ensuring that that level of engagement is, you know, that it's working for the young people who are participating. So, and some of that's reading the group and the kinds of activities and, you know, just assessing while they're in that experience with them, how things are working for them. And part of it too is that those 21st century learning skills, cooperating, collaborating, creativity, communication. I mean, scientists don't work alone. The engineers don't work alone. So part of it is establishing these real skills. It's just kind of a nice way and using it as the vehicle for helping them to develop those skills. The science area is a really nice fit for that.
So when you're working with other youth development professionals who are wanting to implement this with the young people they work with, how do you suggest we implement and design citizen science approaches with our programs?
So one of the things that we learned in the D2D, the Driven to Discover project, is that the caring adults who are engaged in the project, leading those young people through those experiences, that there were individuals who came to us who had really strong natural resource skills, science backgrounds. And then there were also individuals who had really strong positive youth development, like they knew how to lead and facilitate young people through different experiences. And we had some people who had both, and then we had some people who maybe didn't have either of those skill sets. And so what we found is our more effective group dynamics and program experiences came from groups where they had at least one person who had the natural resource science background, and one person who was really strong in positive youth development. So if you had one of those two kinds of people leading the program opportunities, the groups were really quite successful. And if you had the person who had both of those, it was just that much of a richer experience for them. So I think that's one of the things that I would say if you're thinking about considering a citizen science program, to think about who are the caring adults in your community who could help to facilitate, and what kind of hat might they wear in that role? Is it a strong natural resource citizen or strong natural resource science background if you're doing a natural resource citizen science project? Or is it a strong positive youth development educator kind of hat that they might be stronger in? Or do you have people in your community who have both? And I would say if you have someone in your community or a few individuals in your community who have both and have time to lead these kinds of experiences, that might be where I would start. But certainly if you have a strong youth development person or a strong educator, they could certainly carry out this, because you can bring in the natural resource skills through other individuals in the community to support that learning along the way.
Okay, so it really is a balancing act of finding the right person and then finding the right topic and the young people who are interested in that and that youth development and expertise.
Yeah, and so, you know, one of the things that this past summer, we had a project up in Lake County where we were interested in engaging young people to learn more about aquatic invasive species, and actually to test out some protocols that are being used with adult citizens to do citizen science around aquatic invasive species. And so I was pushing, like, can we get kids involved and can we have kids utilizing these protocols? So I just happened to have some contacts with different individuals in Lake County, both professionals in youth development along with natural resources, that we thought, let's see if we can do this. And so we fortunately had someone who is the county aquatic or county invasive species coordinator, who is plugged in with Soil and Water Conservation District and also has some strong connections in the various communities in Lake County, to help us identify some of the potential research opportunities that were happening in Lake County. So we had our county 4-H program coordinator, we had this invasive species coordinator, and myself, who were designing and coordinating a 6-week, 1-day-a-week camp for young people in two different communities in Lake County. And we were also, I guess in many ways, scanning Lake County and the different individuals in natural resources and the work that they had scheduled over the summer. Because part of creating the authentic, meaningful experiences is having young people engage in actual research that's happening. And so we knew that Soil and Water had some different invasive species kind of inventory stuff that they were working on, and the DNR had some different things that they were working on. And through the invasive species coordinator and the different connections, we were able to have the young people who were participating in the camp connect with these real projects that were happening in their backyard. So, and the kids were also doing their own independent stuff with us. And so they were sharing, you know, this is what we've been learning about, and these are the different practices that we've been testing out, and here's what we cataloged when we were at this lake boat landing. And you know, so there was some sharing from the professionals to the youth, and then there was also youth sharing with the professionals, because they had different experiences. So it was a great sort of cooperative learning exchange between youth and adults, and it was fantastic.
And facilitated by people who understand that positive youth development approach and how that can work.
Yes.
Yeah, providing that environment where that can happen. So what I'm hearing is finding opportunities that already exist and finding the right people with the right backgrounds and interests to implement young people into those programs.
Yeah, it's very helpful in networking to sort of identify what are the possibilities, and, you know, and also sort of what are some of the community issues. I mean, so part of the reason for focusing on aquatic invasive species in Lake County is that currently there's an absence of of aquatic invasive species in Lake County to some of the other counties in Minnesota. So, you know, our research question with the young people who are participating in the camp is, you know, like the presence or absence of these invasive species in the county. And we talk, so it's more of a proactive approach. They're not here yet. So let's find out what we do have here native wise. And then there are some invasive species in Lake County. So we could focus on what some of those different species are and, you know, their effects on the habitat and so forth. And then we talked about the importance, though, of being proactive. And that way, if an invasive species is identified, there's more opportunity for management of it before it becomes, you know, like the crisis situation, I guess, or that it, you know, it overruns the native community populations and so forth. And in this particular situation with Lake County this past summer, we had two different groups, and both of the groups actually independently identified a new aquatic invasive species in a particular location that officials were not aware existed. And so they were making a meaningful contribution back to the broader research around aquatic invasive species. And to have both groups that were, you know, are, let's just try this out. You know, as much as you don't want to find invasive species, like, it's kind of fun to be part of, you know, those kids that, like, we're doing this, like, we're helping our community to be more proactive. Situations where it might have taken a number of years before a, you know, a DNR researcher or some other community citizen would have identified, you know, this aquatic invasive species in that particular location. So
yeah, it's really a meaningful experience for them. And so how do they share this out? You know, how do you let others know what young people are doing? And then also, I'm curious about what you've learned from the young people after they've experienced this. Is it influencing further education or the things they may want to do in the future?
One of the things regarding the sharing out, we did have each of those in all of the projects. So whether it was the Driven to Discover project or this Lake County camp that we did this past summer, in all of those experiences, the young people did end up putting together some kind of research presentation and poster. Most recent with Lake County, each of those groups did a team research, youth research poster, where they walk through, you know, what they did and what kind of data they found and shared that out. And we produced those posters for them, just like you would for a national conference or a state conference. And they put them on exhibit at the county fair. And then we have also been working more recently to have them placed in community locations, one with our partners with Soil and Water Conservation District and also one with the Finland Community Center, because they were also our space. It's just another way for the young people to share. Those posters have been brought to some other conferences, not youth specific, but some adult conferences, to share out that, yes, we have youth who can be contributing to this citizen science area of research. And then as far as like our lessons, you know, from the young people, you know, one of the things that we were really intentional around is that it wasn't just to come in and learn to, you know, learn and become a scientist. I mean, certainly that was part of it was a goal to help them identify as, you know, have a better science identity. But we also wanted them to be, you know, perhaps a greater steward for the natural resources in their community too. And then as part of that, though, because we have this, you know, positive youth development piece, like, there was playing as well, you know. So we made sure that we were bringing fishing rods with us so that they could take some time when we were out to do some fishing or to dip in the lake and do a little bit of swimming. We had them out paddling in canoes. We did a recreation trip where they got to go out on Lake Superior and do a kayaking adventure with a local outfitter. So, you know, it's not just about being a scientist, and it's not just about doing research, but it's also about, you know, there's a value in our natural resources. And so let's just get out and play too.
So what do you envision are the next steps for citizen science?
So one of the things that we're working on this winter is we're reflecting on the experiences we had this past summer with the camp. We also have some valuable insights and input from the young people who were themselves participants that we're taking into consideration. And we're also talking with some of our partners. And really what we're trying to identifies how best to support these types of learning experiences. So this past summer was pretty time intensive for three professionals to make sure we were available every week for the course of 6 weeks on two different days. So we're talking 12 days of intensive day-long, you know, field outings. And so we've been talking more about how to best support that. So, we're talking about identifying, are there some other key educators in these communities who may have available time over the summer that they want to continue to do some kind of citizen science effort with students or young people during the summer months? So primarily thinking about some of our high school science teachers and that maybe they might be able to make a 6-day commitment, you know, over the course of a longer timeline over the summer and help young people explore different dimensions of citizen science, depending on what kind of issues being identified or raised up in the community. And then we're also talking about how better to recruit young people into these kinds of experiences too. So part of it is we're still trying to figure out what are those key supports, because what we did this past summer was fantastic, but it was a pretty small participant group, even though we were at two different sites. And so, like, for me, the vision is how can we get every young Minnesota youth to have some type of experience connected with citizen science, just because I think it's important for people to know more about the natural resources in their home environment, whether that be in northern Minnesota or southern Minnesota or somewhere in the metro area. There are lots of different kinds of citizen science projects that kids can be involved in, but it's identifying those appropriate supports and networks to supporting that kind of learning endeavor.
Well, and I look forward to hearing how this program continues to grow across Minnesota. And for our listeners who aren't in Minnesota, may I say that they could contact you for more information?
Oh, absolutely.
And ideas from you. So do look up Rebecca Meyer on our website and check her out on the Youth Development Insight blog. Becky, thank you for being a part of this podcast today. I really appreciate you sharing your experience and ideas and what you have developed using citizen science in our youth development programming.
Thank you, Carrie.
So we'll bring this podcast to a close, but I do want you to know this conversation doesn't end here. As I mentioned, you can connect with Becky online. Find us at www.extension.umn.edu/youth. You'll find more information there on working with youth, as well as research, training, and events that we offer. And make sure while you're there, you check out our Minnesota 4-H program. And as we've mentioned multiple times throughout this podcast, do get on our Youth Development Insight blog and join the conversation. That will wrap up this podcast. My name is Carrie Rabideau from the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. Please tune in again soon.